Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Katrina Cartwright, Education and Outreach Manager at the NAGB, standing in for your regular host, Amard Rowe, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Now, I am in the studio tonight with three amazing women. I have Amanda Colson, who is the former executive director at the NAGB, and she's now at TURN. Is it founding director at TURN? So, you know, Amanda left NAGB to move on and do even like greater things, of course, because that's who she is. And then Jody is right there with her at TURN, the dynamic team at TURN, going all over the world, taking Bahamian art artists around the world and doing amazing things. So Jody's here as well. And then we have Ms. Melissa Alcina, another amazing dynamic woman who is really moving up in the art world internationally, who has a show coming up at TURN next, actually tomorrow, come to think about it, that's November 10th. So Melissa, Amanda, Jody, welcome. Thank you for joining us here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk a bit about your show, Melissa, and also, you know, I mean, every time I go on Facebook, there's always these amazing posts from TURN, like, we're in New York, we're in Florida, we're in London, we're doing these amazing things. And hey, we have Melissa Alcina's show coming up. Like every time I look at, go on social media, there's something like amazing, great, wonderful artists, Bahamian artists being showcased at TURN. So let's talk a bit about like this great energy that's happening at TURN, all these wonderful exhibitions. Now, Melissa is like the next one in line, and that's another amazing exhibition. So very excited to see all of it. So Amanda, Jody, tell us a bit more about what's happening at TURN.
Well, first of all, yeah, I am the founding director, but I want to give Jody Minnis total props, because I came on board a little later, finishing up my time at NAGB, and Jody's been a real powerhouse setting the gallery up. All the social media posts you're talking about, that's all Jody's work. We're a very small team. We're three women, as you said, and we kind of really share our responsibilities very equally. And Jody's just, incredible in getting all the news out there. My role is more strategy. And I think, you know, just to quickly say, like, you know, kind of why we founded TURN is one of the things I realized when I was at the NAGB was that, you know, the NAGB is an educational institution. I don't have to tell you that, Katrina, you're the head of the education department. But, you know, it's there to, you know, teach Bahamians about art history, about their own art history, about how Bahamian art like fits into the kind of global art conversation. But a lot of artists were coming because they knew I had a background in market and in running a fair and collectors. And they wanted, you know, assistance helping their careers in a different way than the NAGB could. And as executive director of the NAGB, that would have been a conflict of interest to me and unethical to get involved in the market. So it was sort of the next logical step for me. And I don't know that it's, I was flattered you said greater things. I think the NAGB is the premier art institution of the Bahamas. But I do think, you know, what we're doing at TURN is really important in taking Bahamian artists to the market and, you know, helping them build their career so they can make a living, making the world see that we can support our own. We don't need a New York gallery to come down and help our artists become internationally recognized, that we can do that all on our own. And I think that's kind of what TURN's trying to do. And by, like you said, going to London, partnering with other galleries that, you know, I've built relationships with over the years, going to art fairs, you know, Jody's really important there too, as is Lauren, the third member, Lauren Perez. Because, you know, we all bring a different expertise. And when you're out in the world, you know, to meet different audiences, to speak to our artists in different voices, to meet people where they are, you know, you need people with different talents and different points of view. So we tend to travel together. I find it like a very organic team. You know, we kind of fill each other's gaps. And we do have an amazing stable of artists, Melissa. Is one of them. And I think Jody might want to talk about, she made a beautiful post the other day about how Melissa kind of believed in us before we believed in ourselves. Jody?
Yeah. Melissa was one of the first artists that we signed because Our gallery model is where we represent a cohort of artists, and we have 12 artists, mostly Bahamian, but also we work with artists in regions. We work with an artist from Trinidad and another from Jamaica. And that's, you know, ever evolving and growing. But I made a post saying that before the gallery was renovated, so the space we occupy at the Island House was a co-working space at first. And before we renovated it, we had an artist meeting with Melissa, and she came in very excited and like wide-eyed and eager with a lot of questions. But ultimately she was like, I'm gonna sign it. Like, yeah, I'm gonna work with you, but I just like have these questions. So it's very heartwarming to know that people, you know, trust us and believe in us. And I think back to what Amanda says, we in the Bahamas, like living and working here, also have the expertise and the knowledge and the range to be able to present work and Bahamian artwork and regional artwork to like a myriad of audiences, because we live it, we breathe it, we, you know, understand it at a level that some may not, and that's okay. And I think that our voice within the global art market is growing, and we're just like really happy to be doing what we're doing, where we're doing it.
Yeah, and again, when I first came home, you know, Angeli, as we say, you know, I told a few people like, oh, I'm moving home, I'm going to live in the Bahamas to work at the museum. And you know, people's reaction was very often, oh, do you have art? Which, you know, upset me quite a lot. But now I think, you know, it's been a global conversation about kind of inclusivity, looking outside sort of typical art centers that are sort of globally recognized, like New York or London or Berlin. And there's really the recognition that, you know, again, art happens everywhere, which we always knew, but it took the world a little longer. There's a specific interest in African art, art from the African diaspora. So it was just a great time for us. And that's been good. So I think now, you know, now when I'm actually currently in New York and coming back from Melissa's show, don't worry. And because there's a lot of Bahamian artists doing work here too. And, you know, the response now is, you know, oh, I'm in the Bahamas. I run a gallery is, oh, what? Yeah, I heard about this artist or that artist, or oh, I know this artist from Jamaica, or oh, I'm going. So it seems like the global conversation's also changed around, you know, the Caribbean's capacity for production, even though, like I said, we always knew. And that's gratifying. So I think we're also able as a gallery to kind of connect to that kind of global interest right now and be ready to deliver, you know, at a high level. So we've done fairs that generally might take a gallery 5 or 6 years to even get into, and we've been able to get into on our first application. And I, you know, partially that is our amazing artists, but having run a fair, I also know there's like a lot of other things that go into being accepted at a fair, and that's people trusting the space, trusting the gallery to turn up, to actually be able to execute, to be able to talk about the work, to be able to do it in a professional manner, to be able to, you know, again, just doing a fair is a huge endeavor, as Jody will tell you too, because we're about to go off and do another one. And they need to know that you're going to really present in the way that they want you to present. So I think, you know, I think we're three of us all very proud that Taryn was also able to be accepted into some of these, you know, world-class events kind of straight out of the gate, because we're just coming up to our second anniversary in December, the early December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's all really exciting. I mean, I think Melissa, you know, I want to pull you into the conversation. So you were one of the first artists to sign with Taryn. I mean, and like Jody and Amanda said, you believed in them before they believed in themselves. I mean, so when you think about gallery representation in the Bahamas, it's actually fairly new. This is not something that we've really done here.
Years.
Yeah, like I say, fairly new to this art scene. So how, I mean, when you heard about what Taryn was doing and talked to them and they were saying, oh, we'd like to sign you, I mean, when you think about that level of support that you gave them, I guess my question is, what led you to really decide that, hey, this is what I want to do, I want to work with these people, and I feel completely confident about this, even though this has never been done before? Here, anyway. And maybe that's a complicated question. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it was quite a natural progression, because I had worked with all of them separately and known them as well, and trusted all of the ladies, you know, with their visions and, you know, their eye as individuals. On top of that, you know, Jody also being an artist herself and an incredible writer. I've worked with Amanda from the get-go when I first came back home with the National Art Gallery, and I've known of Lauren for years, just like, you know, small island kind of things. And she's always been very, very supportive of my work as well, and an early buyer for some of the pieces at the Island House. I was kind of coming to a place where people were asking to purchase my works, and I was getting overwhelmed because I felt like, you know, how do I structure my pricing so that it's consistent? And how do I make sure that people aren't taking advantage of me? And, you know, because there was a lot that, you know, it's natural when people want to purchase your work and they know that you're not protected. They may try to take advantage of you because they can and buy your works early before you blow up, if you do blow up. And I had so many different incidences where I was getting just extremely frustrated because some people were trying to take advantage. Other people, I wasn't able to like offer them, you know, certain pricing structures because I said, okay, well, what is my worth? You know, all of these questions that I really needed help with. So by the time they, you know, founded this gallery and they said, hey, like, do you want to work with me? I was like, oh, thank God. Like, thank God, because I was really in desperate need of some help, some structure, like, you know, some organization, because it's very difficult, you know, as an artist when you're by yourself. And as a photographer, it's slightly different. Because, you know, when you're painting, a lot of the times it's one piece, and then maybe prints can be made of that, but they're purchasing the one print. That person can, I feel, almost easily quantify how they're going to price their work based on the amount of hours that they put into it. Whereas as a photographer, it's a bit different, but I'm still working from a space, like an artistic space, and people at home hadn't been introduced to photography as an artistic medium in the way that I would have, you know, liked it to be. So I remember even coming home and having a show at the Project Space where Amanda and Holly Bino had me in, and a guy came to bring some wine glasses so I could bring them over to the space. And he goes, oh, so you're having an art show? Hey, I said, yeah, yeah. And he goes, oh, what kind of stuff? I said, I'm a photographer. And he goes, oh, I thought you said you did art. And my heart sank. I was like, oh, well, it is a form of art as well. Like, I'm not just doing it as a service. So when it comes to prints, you know, it's a little difficult because you can have a certain amount of prints and you don't want too many circulating so that you don't devalue your work. So it's a bit more complicated. And I was just really grateful that they opened this gallery up to represent, you know, Caribbean and Bahamian artists such as myself, because we do need that representation and we do need that protection as well.
Yeah, and I think it's important to maybe say that, like, that the audience know that, you know, galleries do different things. There's different kind of galleries doing different services, and we're talking about representing. And what does that mean? And that's quite a big thing. And I think, you know, a lot of galleries show artists and sell art, but they don't necessarily represent in the way that, you know, our intention is. And what that means is really taking on kind of all of the admin. So again, as Melissa alluded to, you know, when you're an artist and you get busy and you're practicing, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of photographing, headshots, technicians, shipping, paperwork, invoicing. So the gallery's there to support all of that. In Melissa's case, as she spoke to, also editioning for a photograph, someone's got to have the master list. We have to know exactly how many prints are in circulation. There cannot be more than X amount of prints in circulation. In Melissa's case, it's either 3 or 5, depending on the size, because, you know, you can't just multiply it over and over. It'd be like printing money, right? You can't do that. That's unethical. It also undervalues the value, you know, the work itself. But again, for a gallery to really represent an artist in the meaning we take, it means doing much more than just putting on shows. So you're actively going out in the world, looking for curators, trying to secure museum shows, taking them to art fairs, reaching out globally to other galleries, trying to assist with other shows in other parts of the world. So it's much more than just selling. It's really career building. And to build an artist's career is a really deep and a deep practice that's going to take years. So it's about creating a relationship with the artist too, really understanding the work. And so it's much more than just, you know, having a show, having an opening, selling some things and moving on. And that's okay. There's galleries that do that too. There's lots of different ways to exist as a gallery. But, you know, we, especially from all of our, you know, Jody's a very serious art historian. I come from, you know, the museum. So we're thinking about legacy. We're thinking about, the archive. We're thinking about the canon. You know, we want Bahamian artists to be in the art historical canon globally, not just of the Bahamas. And to have artists in the canon, it means deeper work than just selling. You know, you could sell 1,000 pieces of an artist, and someone in Russia would never have heard of them, or Paris or Canada. We want our artists to be globally known, not just for the work they're making currently, but we want in 100 years for people to be learning about them in textbooks at universities. So that's the kind of work we're trying to do, reaching scholars. Every show we have a scholarly text written. So it's kind of a deeper practice than just selling the work.
And I think this is, it's so, when you think about the art market, you think about art as a business in this country, it is fairly new. And, you know, we're moving into a whole, you know, this is becoming a very deep conversation that's moving away from just having an exhibition into like, what does it mean to have an art market? What does it mean to represent artists? So all of our listeners who are tuning in, be sure to come back. We're going to take a very quick break and we're going to come back and continue this conversation. And if you have anybody who you know is going to be interested in this conversation, tell them to tune in. They need to listen in now, because if they're interested in learning more about the art markets, now's the time to find out.